How you doing today? Are you alive and well? Are you moving around? Blood flowing? Excuse me. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. It's a small book in the Old Testament, towards the end of the Old Testament. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. It's only four chapters, but it's packed full of good lessons for us. Okay, those of you who came up on the stage just now, I'll need you to come back up to the stage in a little bit, okay? I'll call you up when it's time, and you can help me explain something in my sermon today. By the way, before I forget, I'm going to Boise this week to Boise Bible College for their spring conference. I'll be there leaving tomorrow and coming back Friday. So if you need help or assistance, call Beth, call the elders, call Chrissy, call Cindy, call John, and they'll help you out. So, last week, in this new series called Isn't It Ironic, we learned that God has a sense of humor, and that sometimes his humor is seen in ways and things that he's created, like the platypus. Remember last week how many different parts of other animals it seems like the platypus has? And so God has a sense of humor in things he's created. And sometimes through irony. And irony is when a situation is directly opposite of what we expect it to be. When we say, that's ironic. Like this. Stop. Keep moving. Which do I obey? That's ironic. The point of last week's message was called Ironic Obedience, and was that although Jonah knew without a doubt God was calling him to go talk to Nineveh, a town of about 120,000 people, and tell them to repent. Warn them, God is about to destroy you if you don't repent. Come back to the Lord. Even though Jonah knew directly that's what he was supposed to do, he did exact opposite of what we would expect him to do. Isn't that ironic? Jonah did the opposite of what God told him to do. Imagine yourself in Jonah's place, trying to avoid obeying a clear directive from God. How do you think you'd feel about yourself when you know you're doing directly opposite of what God is calling you to do? Well, let's listen to Jonah's account as he experienced this in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord God gave this message to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction in order to get away from the Lord. He went down to the seacoast, to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went aboard, hoping that by going away to the west, he could escape from the Lord. Jonah is on a ship out in the Mediterranean Sea, and God sends a big storm to batter the ship and get Jonah's attention. So let's see what happens next. Verses 4 through 7. But as the ship was sailing along, suddenly the Lord flung a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to send them to the bottom. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. And all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will have mercy on us and spare us our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did this, Jonah lost the toss. So how big is the storm? These are seasoned sailors. They know how to handle a ship in stormy waters. But this storm was so big that these guys are terrified. It's a God-sized storm. So in their fear, the sailors became desperate, trying to deal with their predicament. Ever been desperate before to do something? And feel like, you know, it's like, I have to do this right now. Well, the sailors were in that place. So they did desperate things. For example, they blamed an angry higher power. Now, the sailors were not Jewish people. They were not Christians. They were people who had lots of gods, though. And you don't have just one God, you have many gods, because there's a God of fertility, there's a God of a good harvest, there's a God of good weather, there's a God of wealth, there's gods for everything. And when you're in a predicament like they are, which God is angry? Can you hear the sailors' voices? Which one of you gods is angry with us? What can we do to make you happy again? Hurry up and answer! Our boat is filling up with water. Well, that didn't work. So they tried the second desperate step, and that was to try to save themselves. The sailors basically threw their paychecks overboard. Because when you throw your cargo over, that's how you get paid. You get your cargo safely into port, get it onto the dock, it's purchased, and you get paid for delivering the cargo. So they're throwing their paycheck overboard to lighten the ship so it doesn't sit so deep in the water. Well, that didn't work, so desperate step number three, ask someone else to save you. So the captain of the ship goes down to the hold. Now imagine this. To Jonah, and Jonah's asleep in the midst of this storm. Can you think of anyone else who was asleep in a boat? In a storm. Remember Jesus? And so the captain goes down there. Noah. If I say Noah, just know it's Jonah, okay? Jonah is asleep. Captain's, Jonah! What in the world are you asleep for? Why do you think that is? What would cause someone to be able to sleep in the midst of such a horrific storm, tossing the boat back and forth? What's that? Confidence. Okay. Exhaustion. Jonah is running from God. And he knows in his spirit he is wrong. And I don't know, you've experienced times when you know you're out of character with God, you're out of sync, out of alignment with God, and your spirit is in trouble, your spirit is unsettled, and your mind is working, and you spend a lot of emotional energy while you're out of alignment with God. That's Jonah. I would say he's depressed, knowing that he's going against God. And he is so wore out emotionally, and you know, emotional energy wears on your physical energy, and so he is just done. This guy is done. He's in the bottom of the hold, asleep in the midst of this storm. Have you ever tried to ask God for help or forgiveness when you knew you were disobeying him? Guilt will pull you out of relationship with God faster than anything else. So the captain goes, asks Jonah, Go worship your God. Go ask him. Maybe he's mad at you. Do something, Jonah. We're in desperate situation here. And he wakes him up, tells him what to do. Do you think Jonah woke up and asked God, "Are you mad at me?" Do you think Jonah did that? No. Why? He already knew the answer. That's right. Just like you and me when we're out of alignment with God. So, desperate step number 4, find someone else to blame for my situation. Do you remember choosing who was going to go first in a game? You might have played one potato, two potato. You might have played eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And to figure out who was going to be the first one to get to go in a game. Well, the sailors had a similar type of game, if you will, and it was called casting lots. And they would cast lots. Each man had a little stick or a stone that had his mark on the stone. And they would gather their stones together. Okay, kids, I need you to come back up here. Yep, come on up. There you go. Okay, so each one would have a stone, and I've got some dice here that are different colors. And so there's your stone, and your stone, and your stone, and your stone, and your stone. Okay? And so when we're in a situation we don't know what to do, let's ask the gods by casting lots. We're going to hear from them through casting lots. So you're all going to give me your stone. Okay, put it all right in there. And we're going to pretend my hands are like a little leather bag. And I'm going to shake them all up. Okay? And the first person's stone that comes out, they have to fess up. That person has to say whether or not they really know or not their God is mad at them. Okay, ready? Did you remember what color your stone was? Okay, here it comes. Whose is that? Helen. And so Helen would have to say, "Yeah, I did something wrong." Or she would say, "No, it wasn't me. I've been good with my gods." Okay? And then we'd put the stones back together and we'd try it again until somebody finally fessed up. Well, okay, here we go again. And this time, guess in Jonah's experience, guess whose stone came out first? Jonah's stone came out first. And Jonah, they all looked at him and said, "What did you do to tick off your God?" And Jonah finally fessed up. Okay. Thanks for helping me do this. I appreciate it. You can go back to your parents now. Yeah, good job, guys. So, the lot, or the stone, fell to Jonah. His lot came out of the container. And I wonder what Jonah thought and felt when he saw his come out. You think maybe God had anything to do with that? On this boat, it wasn't a large boat, so there's probably 10 or 12 sailors managing the boat. So 10 or 12 stones, you know. You got a 1 in 12 chance of it being yours. Actually, a 1 in 13 because you're a passenger. I wonder what Jonah did. Let's look at verses 8 through 12. I'll start in verse 7. Then they cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did this, Jonah lost the toss. "What have you done to bring an awful storm down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" They're just drilling this guy. And, you know, under interrogation. And Jonah answered, verse 9, "I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord God, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Then he told them that he was running away from the Lord. The sailors were terrified when they heard this. They were terrified when they heard this. You'd think he'd be happy. They'd be happy. Now we know who really is at fault here. But they were terrified when they heard this. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to stop this storm? What should we do to you to stop this storm? No, our Jonah said, throw me into the sea, and it will become calm again, for I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. It's all my fault. The sailors interrogated Jonah, who revealed that he worshipped Yahweh, the Lord. Anytime you see in the Old Testament, capital L-O-R-D, that is a reference to Yahweh, the God of the Bible, the God of all, the great I Am. And so he said that he worshipped Yahweh, the God who not only created the seas and the land, controls them, but created them. That's why these sailors are terrified of this news. Their gods can influence, so they believed, but Jonah's God created. This God is way more powerful than their God. That's why they're terrified. My God's stronger than your God. And Jonah has revealed this to them. They're terrified. Jonah's God was far more powerful than theirs. And not only did Jonah's God control the seas and the lands, he created them. So they asked him, dude, they actually said that. It's in your translation right here on the side. It says, dude, right there. What did you do to tick off your God so bad that he's, you know, going to drown us all? They now knew that he was running from the most powerful God ever, but they didn't know why. What do we do to convince your God, Jonah, to calm the sea? Jonah's answer is, throw me overboard. Now, isn't this interesting? Isn't it ironic that Jonah was willing to die to save 12 sailors when just a few days earlier he was not willing to save the souls of 120,000? Throw me overboard, he said. Thus the title of today's message, Ironic Caring. So let's imagine for a moment. You are Jonah, and a dozen or so men are looking at you with terror in their eyes because nothing that they have tried has saved them. Ever been there? Tried this, tried that, tried the other, and nothing is working. The time for you to decide is now. You are their only hope. You have to care enough about them in order to save them. You cannot decide tomorrow. It'll be too late. In fact, given the howling wind and the size of the waves drenching your boat, an hour from now will be too late. This is the reality of your scenario in your world today. But your scenario differs from Jonah's in one significant way. The people looking at you, people you work with, your neighbors next door, your doctor, your dentist, people you hang out with, folks you do recreation with, they're looking to you. But they don't know they are dying without Jesus. But you do. The time to do something is now. God has called you and me to care. There are at least 800 people in Athena whose ship is about to sink without Jesus, and tomorrow just may be too late. God is using Jonah's story to help us face ourselves and our faith. Isn't it ironic that Jonah, who knew the loving, caring heart of God, had to be put into a desperate situation before he would turn his heart around and start caring for people's eternal lives? Maybe your Jonah story isn't with your neighbor. Maybe it's with your spouse or your children or a Christian brother or sister. Are you running from God? Irony, when Christians do the opposite of what they know God wants them to do. Are you living an ironic faith? Let's be quiet for a moment and let God speak to us. So just clear your mind of what's going on later today. And let's just take a minute. Everybody just take a deep breath. And let's just let God speak to us. Show me, Lord, where I might be resisting. Show me where I might want to care, but at this point haven't. Help me listen to my troubled spirit that knows I'm out of alignment with you. Help me not wait until a desperate situation before I choose to care. You've called us, Lord. Because people have many gods that cannot save them. And we know Jesus, who can save them. Father, help us so we don't have to have a Jonah moment. Lord, we bring our hearts to you now. We just humble ourselves before you. Lord, we declare to you, no longer my way. I've tried so many. Only your way works. Father, I thank you that you love us so very much. The cross is proof of that. But Father, your love does not stop with us. It's reaching, even in this moment, through us to others. So God, we're grateful. We want to respond to you in the way you would call us to in this moment. And so today is the new day for a neighbor, a friend, a family member, someone I work with, to know the true God. Thank you, Father, for teaching us today. May we not have an ironic faith. But a powerful one, because we submit ourselves to you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and for his purpose, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's respond to God today. What do you need to stop doing in order to obey God? A better way to say this, now I think about it, is what do you need to start doing to obey God? In a place you may be avoiding him. Number two, what do you need to do to obey God? And then number three, ask a trusted friend for prayer support. You cannot change in a vacuum. You need help with others who are for you in your work of change. God is good, is he not? He is for you, and let's not wait for Jonah moments before we obey God. Let's choose that today, and let's ask him to change our hearts in his name and in his power. Are you ready to let him change you? Change your heart? Oh, let's sing that song if you're ready. If you'd like prayer today, we'll be down here. There'll be some in the back if you'd like to go back there to have prayer. And let's respond to God today. Let's be standing together as we